Pastor Linda. Coming on. Let God have his way. I hope y'all ready. Amen. Amen. Oops, let me see.
Amen. Is it on? Amen. Can you guys? Oh, I didn't see you, Donita. Oh, I just saw Donita. I was wondering where she was at. Okay. Bless the Lord. Can y'all hear me? No? Y'all can hear me now because I can hear me. Okay. Let's bow our heads. You guys, that's ringing my spirit. Hello, peace.
Amen.
Hello, joy. Does that ring it in your spirit? Oh, hello. You know, that means we said goodbye to something when we say hello. But I'm just praising God right now because with God and through God, we can say hello. Hello, peace. Come on. Hello, joy. Hello, love. We can say it. We can mean it. We can know it. Through Christ, we can say hello. And we can say goodbye to all that other negative stuff and hello to the things of God. Lord, as we bow our heads this morning, we are so very grateful for this another day. God, you kept us. You've watched over us. You've had your eye on us, your hand, your heart upon us, God. And God, even though there was unseen dangers that we may not even had a clue of, God, you were there, right there, keeping it from destroying us, so that we could be standing here this very day to worship you, to lift up our hearts in love and thanksgiving to you. And that we do right now in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. As we begin to think of the goodness that you have done in our lives, God, we can't help but love you. This very day, this morning, opening our eyes, this morning, standing to our feet, this morning, being able to walk, this morning, being able to get in a car and drive to the church, this morning, coming into the congregation of the saints, this morning, having a right mind, God, this morning, we have so much to be grateful for, and we praise you, and we rejoice in you, God, our salvation, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Next Sunday, just come with me. We'll be learning a song. So if you're interested, just call
me.
All right, children, if you're interested in doing this, here's an opportunity. Amen. Do something for Jesus.
Amen.
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 The age is what? All of them. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just thanking God for being here, thanking God, as you guys have said, God, it was God's hand that has brought us back and through the highways one more time. He didn't have to let that be. You know, every time we're up this time, there's a little more, rumblings going on up in the airplane. I'm just glad that, you know, God brought us through. Whatever that weather was, whatever was going on, God held us in the sky, and he brought us to the ground, and I am so glad to be home. I kept saying, I love everyone, and I just want all my family that's outside of our church, because they're watching this morning, to know I love them. They're just amazing love that they pour out on Pastor David and I. We thank God for the Dentus, and we thank God for the Mosses. Nothing we couldn't ask for. They're not surrounding us with just their beautiful homes, and I just thank God. I continue to pray because each one has made a room in their house for us. So when we go to their house, that's our room. They have that room. And I was thinking as I was leaving their houses, because they have dedicated these rooms to us, I said, Lord, just like the prophet, he asked the woman that made that room for him, what is it that they need, oh God? Lord, that you would supply that need for them. you know, that it's not just money that we want to give. We want them to be blessed. And so we just want to say to Sal, on behalf of us and our congregation, Sal and Pastor Sal and Tisha, the Mosses, we love you for your love and for your care to us, because that's a wonderful thing to be able to go places and not have to worry about anything, because they are taking care of us and making sure that we are cared for. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. I've had a wonderful time just peeking in on the on our home here and just getting excited. And my granddaughter, she's so cute. She said last Sunday, she said, "Grandma, it was very emotional. There's just so many emotions." And so I was thinking about it as I had to go. When she told me that, I had to go really peek in and say, what was going on? But I thank God, because I even see the residue of that right now, that God is in this place and was in this place. And he continues to be in this place. He continues to be doing great things in us. And I said something this morning. I didn't know that y'all was going to sing my song, but I was so glad that you sung it. And I said it to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I know this word. You've been working on me with this word." And I said, if this is the word, because he had given me two words, you know, I had two different directions. I said, "Lord, if this is the direction that you want me to go, they're going to sing my song this morning." And you guys sung it. So I said, "Okay, God, there we go. He wants this word this morning." And we've been talking about the kingdom, and that in the kingdom is taking an aim. And a lot of times when we're in the kingdom, there's a lot of things that we need to take an aim at in the kingdom, because kingdom living is so different from how we've been living in the world. And so when we come and we start talking about kingdom, we realize that there's a lot of things now that we have to aim at that's different than what we've been aiming at before we got into the kingdom. And so the Lord's given me like three different things that I'll be preaching on, but today we want to aim at joy. And we sung this morning, "Hello, what? Peace. Hello, joy." And so we want to aim at it. And we don't want to just, you know, when you aim at something, it's not just thinking about it. It's really like positioning yourself to hit. When you're aiming at the bullseye, you want to hit them. You don't want to hit all around it. And sometimes we're hitting all around it, but we're not hitting it. And God wants us to aim at joy and hit it. Yes. I said aim at joy and hit it. And as I was looking around, there's just so much sadness and things going on in the world, that word joy, if we don't understand what it means, it can seem like we're denying things that's going on. And so sometimes when we hear joy, and we misuse the word as happiness.
Come on.
And so we're thinking, happy? How can you be happy when all these people are dying? How can you be happy when, you know, there's floods and hurricanes and all this? How can you, you know? And so we get a little bit in our spirit, gets a little bit pulled back from happiness, because we think we shouldn't be happy. But I'm not talking about happy this morning, okay? And I have a understanding that as I was gone, and then just different things in pastor's family, we've had quite a few deaths in this past month. And so I was just thinking about, you know, he's lost an aunt, he's lost a cousin, right? A cousin and an uncle in this past, and I was thinking about sometimes, you know, we're offended because when my mom and dad died, one of the things that I found that was offensive in my spirit was that the world kept going on. Now, I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about unless you've been there, but it seems like this devastating thing has happened. The loves of my life are gone, and everybody's still going on. People are laughing. People are still going to the movies. People are going out to eat. But it seems as though, and I want somebody to pray with her. If you can we get somebody to pray? Just wrap your arms around her and pray with her. The Lord is doing something, this young lady. And that's all right. It's all right. But it seems like during times of death, you kind of want the world to stop. You know, like you want everything to stop. I don't want you laughing. I don't want you smiling. I want everything to just stop. Do you understand? My parents are gone. And so everything else inside of me, now I know some of us, we're in a spiritual realm right now, and we're thinking, well, you know better than that. The Lord is with you. But I'm saying in the natural, until I connect back with who God is and what God is doing, there's a hit that comes against this flesh when somebody dies. And this flesh feels it. And it feels it in a way that if there was no God, it would destroy us. If there was no God, death would destroy us. Pain would destroy us. Disappointment would destroy us. Hurt would take us out if there was no God. If there was no hope, we would be taken out. But because there's hope, because there's God, that's what gets us through it. And because there's something greater than happiness, because happiness is determined by conditions and circumstances, how good something is, how favorable it is, how wonderful it is. But joy is a choice. I want us to understand this. Happiness is conditional. And it can put us on a roller coaster of emotions because, you know, I can be happy today and something great happen, or I get some money, or you know, we just, oh, so happy. And then tomorrow it can be something that makes us so sad, and the happiness is gone. And if we just walk through life on happiness, which the world strives for happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. I just want to be happy. You know, I'm going to say his name funny, so y'all don't say it for me so I don't mess up, because I want to call him something else. But Happy Pharrell. Okay. I said Will Pharrell. That's not even it, right? Okay. That's why I said it. Okay, so, but his song, Happy, okay? And I love that song. I just was singing around the house, happy, until I got sad. Then that song wasn't a song for the day, right? Because today I am not happy. Today I'm sad. Today I'm mad. Today I'm disappointed. That song could not carry me through that moment of disappointment. But joy can. And God wants us to aim for joy and not just happiness. And so today we're going to talk about aiming at joy. God wants to move during these times. Our souls can become so weary with things that are going on and things that are not according to our picture of goodness or our picture of happiness. And we can get weary of bad news, sad news, disappointing news. Our souls can get weary. But God wants us to, he wants to move our souls from weariness to a renewal of hope. Because happiness is just fluff, okay? That's why it's a roller coaster of up and down. But joy is hope. And hope is something substantial when you hope in God. It's something strong that you can stand on. In Psalms 27 and 13, and we've heard this so many times, and this is one of my favorite scriptures that I've said through many of my valleys. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David here says something, and as we're listening, we've said this so many times, that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that is a hope. And David had a whole lot of things going on in his life. Many, many times he had Saul chasing him. He had things that was going on in his life, people that he trusted in, that he could no longer trust in. But he was saying, I would have fainted. I would have fainted if I did not see. Now, if I did not believe, that's the first thing that God wants us to know, that hope is about believing. That if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fainted. And this is what joy is all about. Joy is believing that despite what's going on, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Despite what's happening to me, despite what's happening to my loved ones, despite what's happening in the world, that I can stand on something solid instead of all the shakiness, ground that seems so shaky and out of sorts. I have something solid to stand on, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As we look through Psalms, it's constantly over and over that the bless the Lord because he is good, he is good, he is good, he is good. And we've got to get planted in the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord does not mean fame, fortune, money, relationships. Those are ways, vehicles that he can work his goodness through. But what God would love for us to know, the goodness of the Lord is his character. His character is good whether he gives one money and takes money from another, whether he gives life to one and life goes away. God is good, as we say. God is good all the time. And what?
All the time
God is good. Such a, if we're not careful, such a cliche that we've said over the years in church, ever since I was a little girl, this God is good all the time and all the good. And as little kids, we just learned to say that, and we say it and we repeat it and we say it. As I got to be a teenager, say it, repeat it, say it. Then as you get to be a young adult, you're still saying it, and it says, God is good all the time. God is good. And we say it. But there comes those seasons in our life that there's angst in our spirit, like, this is not good. This right here makes no sense. This is not fair. Why is this happening to me? And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we equate the situation with the goodness of God. And when we equate the situation, we can deduct God's goodness from out of our hearts. We become disillusioned with God, and the enemy has a doorway. As soon as we become disillusioned with God and his goodness, the enemy has a doorway to come in, bring fear, bring doubt, make us think that God doesn't love us as much as he says that he loves us, because we're equating circumstances in our life with the goodness of God. But I'm here to tell you, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Situations can be bad. Circumstances can be horrible. But God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You know, sometimes we don't, why we feel like when situations are bad, we don't see that there's purpose, that God's purpose is in it. No matter what the enemy's doing to us, he said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Does God put sickness on us? He's not doing that. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And God will bring good out of it all. He will bring good. And sometimes in our imagination, we can't figure, what's the good of this? What in this is good? But I've lived long enough that there's some circumstances in my life that I thought was horrific. But looking at that moment, but looking back in retrospect, I see what they did for me. Yeah.
that God brought strength to me. He brought wisdom to me. He brought a better knowing of him in my life. It brought me closer to him. Those situations, God will bring goodness out of even the worst of situations. And David said, I had fainted unless I believed. So one thing that we got to realize that with joy, joy is not some willy-nilly talk about I love God. Joy is about really believing in God. And to believe God, we have to go through some things with, like if you believe or trust anybody, you have to go through some things with that person to see how it's going to come out, right? The more I go been through with Pastor David, there's that trusting and knowing that he's with me. That there's that trusting of knowing that he'll fight for me. There's, because we've been through some things where he could have left me, where he could have said, bump that, but he stayed right. There's some knowing because there's been a trying, right? And God himself allows us to prove him, to try him, to see if he is not the God that he says he is. And the more situations we go through, we start out wondering, is God going to help me? We start out, is God for me? Does God really love me? But as we continue to walk with God, we see in situations, he didn't leave me there. He didn't let me go when I ran away from him. And all of a sudden, we start building up this trust as we continue to walk with him and knowing that the God of the Word is a God of truth, and we can believe in him and we can trust in him. And as we begin to believe in him, then we know that what he says, he will do. And who he says he is, he really is. So David says, I would have fainted. Sometimes we feel like I can't take another thing. Sometimes we feel like fainting. What do we do with that? What do we do when we feel like I can't take another step? I just can't. We get closer to God. And what the enemy desires to do is take our situations and pull us back from God and bring doubt and fear and pull us back from God instead of bringing us closer to God. But God wants us to come close to him. I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want to offend anybody in what I'm saying, but it's what God wants to get across. We have a lot of times where, okay, in the Bible, there was a lot of lament in certain chapters. Jeremiah, we know he was a crying prophet, as they said. And sometimes it feels like people of God, especially people of God, because that's who we blame it on, people of God, they don't seem to identify lament and that they're trying to be just run past it. And so we get offended at the people of God because, and I'm just saying what God said to me the other morning, because we want to protect our right to lament. And we have a right to lament. But God said he wants to take you to a higher level of not just protecting your right to lament, but protecting your right to joy. Because sometimes we can protect our right to lament, to be sad, to a point that we don't get back to the strength of joy. And we see a lot of people, and I know this, and so I can say it because I've been there. I know this, that during the time when my mom and dad, passed, there's people who lamented with me, that covered me and cried with me. And then there was those that told me, joy's coming in the morning. And I was mad at them. Your joy's in the morning because your mama and daddy's still here. Does anybody know what I'm saying? And God began to deal with me about this because God said that there's both and we need to receive both. Because sometimes we'll say they're so stupid, they don't even know what to say. Am I about to get this? know, we feel like they're stupid because of what they say. And we feel like they're stupid because they use the word of God. In a season when I just want you to cry with me. When I just want you to hold me. When I just want you to identify where I'm at. But as I was walking around, if we're not careful, you need both. Amen. You need lament, and you need the word of God that will bring you up out of that place that the enemy takes great things of God, and he will drown us and overwhelm us and take it to the negative. And God says, there's both. There's both. There's the lament, and there is the joy. And there's the lament, and there's the growth. So I was looking at my grandson while we was there. Oh, we had such a beautiful time with our grandchildren. But I was looking at my baby grandson, Ezra. And Ezra was running around the living room. He was just running. But his mom had exercise equipment, the kind of long, those barbell things that you lift up. So do weights. So he's running and running and running. And as he runs, he trips. And when he trips, he falls back on the barbells. Okay? And he falls back on the barbells. And as soon as he falls back on the barbells, oh, my God, he just lets out this well of tears. And he's crying so hard. And he's looking around. You could tell he's looking around the room. And he's looking around the room. And he sees his mom. And so his mom has her arms wide open like this. And Ezra gets up and he's just screaming. And he runs into her arms. And she grabs him up in her arms and she holds him. And as soon as she's holding him, you know, he was screaming and screaming. But as soon as them arms went around him, all of a sudden you go. And you see him, he's kind of like looking around. He's in her arms. He's in that safe place. Mama touches him. Mama's rubbing the back, and she's consoling him, and she's rubbing that back. And all of a sudden, that scream that felt so deadly at first, you just, did he break his back? Did he do what? You know, he's screaming so hard. All of a sudden, you know, he's in Mama's arms, and he's, and I was just like, oh, Father, that is so like you. That's what I want from you. That's what I want from you. That's all we want from you. He said, that's the problem. That's all you want from me. And I said, that's a problem? He said, that's the problem. He said, now, he said, I love to kiss your boo-boos. And most of us, we are offended if people do not kiss our boo-boos. He said, I love to kiss your boo-boos, but I want to take you to a higher level of strength that I don't have to kiss your boo-boos all the time. You know how you feel. He said, because you look at little Ezra right now, he said, Ezra has mommy, but Ezra's not always going to have mommy. Ezra's going to have to know at some point in his life, he's going to have to know how to handle some of these disappointments, handle some of these disillusionments, handle some of this pain without falling all apart because somebody is not there to kiss the boo-boo. I was like, what you say, Jesus? I said, okay, I'm kind of getting it, but I really appreciate the kiss for the boo-boos, you know? He said, but I want to take my people to another level. How many of us are so disappointed because when we're going through, somebody didn't say the right thing. Somebody didn't call us. Somebody didn't check on us. Somebody didn't hold us. Somebody said it the wrong way. People say the stupidest things we say. And the thing is, okay, it may be stupid, but it shouldn't take me out of orbit. And a lot of things, it just takes me out of orbit because how they said it, how they did it, what they did do, what they didn't do. And I'm already in pain. Now I'm in worse pain because I can't handle disappointment. I can't handle reactions of others. And God wants to take us to a whole other level. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted like a child. But when I become a young man, an older man, I put away these childish things. And I don't trust in the responses of man. I trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We say he is the God of all comfort, but how many times we look for comfort from men? The God of all comfort, who knows what kind of comfort I need right when I need it. And there has been times when I would cry myself into a depression if somebody didn't come along and yank me up out of it. But sometimes I didn't realize where the enemy was carrying me. Yeah. See, sadness is not a bad thing. Right. Sadness is an emotion that gives us a release when things happen that hurt us. It's a release. It's not just walking around being, I don't care. Everything's okay. It's good. I'm good. And it's all stuff. Sadness is a release. Where it release, where it may come out in tears, where it, you know, you may feel sad, but sadness is not depression. Sadness unchecked can lead you to depression. Sadness in control can lead, remember I said sadness, every emotion God has given us is not supposed to master us. We're supposed to master it. They're good releases. They're good. God has given them to us for purpose, but not for them to drown us, not for them to master us where now I'm sad and 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 I'm sad. And how you know that sadness is mastering you is because it takes away your hope.
Oh, help us today, God.
It takes away your hope. That's how you know sad is, this is a sad situation. Sad is, oh my goodness, houses have burned down. People have died. That's sad. But when it's mastering you is when you can't get up out of it and now you're afraid. Now there's no hope. Now you don't know, you can't come out of your house. Now you're worried your house is going to burn. Now you're looking and looking and looking in fear that there's no savior. You know, you've lost hope that there's a savior. You've lost hope that there's somebody that's looking out for you. You've lost hope that even if your house burns down, I will survive. You've lost hope that even if I die, I will live again. You've lost hope in the bigger picture of God. God wants us to get to this place to understand that joy is not a feeling you have, but it is a choice. You make a choice that is followed by intentional action. True joy comes from knowing no matter what happens, God is still good.
Yes, yes.
God is still kind. God is still loving. No matter what happens, God is still good. God is still kind and God is still loving. I had to say this when my mom and dad died, and I've been in church all my life, my remembrance life, because I don't remember about the baby time. But I said this over and over, but when watching them in pain, even watching them in pain, but not deducting the other part, watching them in pain was, they're in pain. And there's a voice said, that's not kind. You know how long your parents have been serving the Lord. They've been serving the Lord almost all your life. Why would they go out in pain? There's a voice in my head saying, why would that be on them? Why would in my heart, I'm telling you, in my naivety of a child like mine, even though I've seen it everywhere else, my parents was close to God. And my thing was, they're just going to go out sleeping. They're just going to, they've loved God and put in the work, and they are going to just go out sleeping. That was my whole wish for my parents. They just fall asleep, no pain. But that's not the way it went. And there's a voice that will come to you to try to bring doubt to you that's the good God you serve. That's what he does. That's how he does it to the people that love him, that serve him, that walk for him, that have bought so many people. That's how he does it. And God said, yes, that's how it is. And I didn't lie to you not one minute, because I did not tell you that. I did not say in the word of God that saints just sleep. I didn't say that saints don't suffer. In fact, I said quite the opposite. And our problem is that we live in this fallen world because of sin. The world is fallen. No, God did not want it to be like this. No, when we see that Jesus wept over Lazarus, he wept, but one of the things that he wept for is that he never wanted to be like that. That wasn't so from the beginning. That wasn't that we was going to have pain. That wasn't that he didn't create us to go through. He wept because he knew what we was feeling. We have not a high priest that's not acquainted with our grief. He knows that our grief, and he knows our pain, but it wasn't anything that he wanted us to go through. And when he could feel Mary, if you had been here, my father wouldn't have died. He felt that pain of something that he never, ever wanted us to go through. But it was a pain that he was having for what we felt, because he already knew. He knew in not very few minutes from now, I'm going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is going to come forth. He knew the end. He knew that in spite of what was being seen right there, that joy was about to come as he called Lazarus' name, that Lazarus was going to come out. But he knew that we don't understand that in spite of the sorrow, the pain, in spite of death, in spite of sickness, right here, that God is saying, flip the coin, and on the other side, joy is going to come in the morning. He knew that our hearts, that Satan had dealt us a blow that took our peace, that took our security, that took our, that's what sin has done. It dealt the blow of taking away our security in God. But he also knew on the other side that once Jesus went to the cross and got up from the grave, he was telling you, your security is in me. And death, sickness, pain, trouble, it does not have the final say. I said it does not have the final say this morning, you guys. No matter what we're going through, that's our hope, that none of it has the final say. God has the final say. God is letting us to know that we need to know him more intimately. Not just of him, not just through my testimony, not just through Kenesha's testimony, not through just Elder Willie's testimony. You need to know him intimately for yourself. You need to know what God can do, because you have tried him in your life, and you have tried his word in your life, and now you have a testimony of what God can do. You know him intimately. You know his character. You know his love. You know his purpose. And you know the voice of truth. God wants us to know him personally. The worst thing to do sometimes, and I want to remind you, is to know somebody through somebody else. Because a lot of times we miss out on very good people because we are knowing them through somebody else. and somebody else, their knowing is tainted by some bad experience or something that them and that person is going through. And so we hear, oh, don't you, let me see who I'm going to, oh, don't you talk to, I'm going to do my girl today. Oh, don't you talk to Kathy Ann. Oh, she's crazy. Don't talk. She does this, she does that. So instead of knowing Kathy Ann for yourself, you go, oh, I'm staying away from Kathy Ann. I mean, come on, Kathy Ann, we know this, right? We know, we learn people through other people, but what God wants, he doesn't want you to know him through somebody else. Because one person may be saying, God is good all the time, because, you know, this morning he woke me up, he's blessed me, he's healed me. And somebody else might be saying, he wasn't there for me. I called on him and he didn't answer. So you better know God for yourself. You better try him and know him personally, so you having a personal acquaintance with him, so that there's things that you could come up to me and say about Pastor David, and people have done it in church sometimes. They'll come and they'll want me to do something, so they'll say, Pastor David said. And they'll say it, not Pastor David did not say that. I already know, because I know my husband. I know him. I'm personally acquainted with him. I know how he would say something. He did not say it. I know he didn't say it like that, because I know him. Do you see what I'm saying? So a lot of times, that's what we do. We walk with God based on somebody else's experience, somebody else's testimony. But to be able to have, it's not going to help you in the bad day. It's not going to help you in the sad day. It's not going to help you when you're going through, if you don't have nothing on board that says, wait a minute, you know what? Yeah, this is a bad day. But you know what? I remember that God helped me back there. I remember God helped me through that. And if he helped me through that, he can help me through this. I have a personal experience with God that I can relate to, that I can remind myself, God is good. Devil, you are a liar. Get out of my face, because God is good all the time. All the time. This is just a new mountain, but there's all them mountains he's brought me over. And if he brought me through all them mountains, he surely can bring me through this. Without true intimacy and personal knowing, we can be on an emotional roller coaster, trusting and joyful as long as things are going well. And according to our perception, and then we can become suspicious. And this is what God said in his house. That's the worst thing. People outside, they can be suspicious that don't know him, but the worst thing is people that know him. And we allow the enemy to make us suspicious, fearful, and doubtful when things are hard. When things get hard, we get suspicious of God. Do you really want good for me, God? Do you really did you really forgive me for all that stuff? Or are you punishing me right now? We become suspicious. And God doesn't want us, because we base everything on happiness. I didn't get the home. I didn't get the car. I didn't get the guy. I didn't get the girl. I didn't get these things that I asked for. And we become suspicious because we feel that God didn't give us something that we thought was the best thing that we can have. And we become, the enemy has a place in our ear now to make us feel suspicious that God is taking something from us because he's disappointed with us. But God wants us to examine what we truly believe. And this morning, I want you to examine what you truly believe about God. Not just what you say. Not God is good all the time. But I want you to examine, is that what you truly believe? Will you believe that if you walk out this door today and someone's busted in your car and totaled it out right out in this parking lot? Will you say, God is good all the time? And all the time, God is good. Will you believe it if you go home today and you get that phone call that you don't want, that someone has passed in your family? Will you believe God is good? And they passed in a way that, you know, that was horrendous or tragedy or killed. Or will you still believe that God is good all the time? Will you believe it if you go and you get the doctor's report that says that it's incurable, that you have a disease, that their hands are up in the air, they don't know, is God still good all the time? Because what we have a tendency to do is say, why me? Why me? Wait. Why me? I'm serving God. And my neighbor across the street doing everything they want to do. They don't serve God. And I have cancer. I have a sickness. Why me? God is good. All the time. All the time. What takes away from the goodness of God in our lives? And we need to examine that and see if what I'm saying is what I'm believing. Right. You know, sometimes we keep, you know, it's a wonderful thing to confess. You know, I've confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed, but sometimes I have to stop and say, do I believe in what I'm confessing? I confess that, you know, God is love, God is forgiving, God is love, God is forgiving, God is love, God is forgiving, and he wants me to be loved, and he wants me, but then something happened, and that confession, I find out, you need a lot more work, girl, because you're confessing it, but you really haven't believed it. You know how we can confess? Sometimes we confess things hoping to understand it to the point that, oh, I agree with that. Oh, I agree with that, you know. But the thing about believing God, you don't have to agree with it. You know, you just trust God. You know, that's just like, you trust him so much, that's like, I don't understand. As a child, I wouldn't understand. Get out the street. I'm having fun in the street. Get out the street. And mom said, get out the street. Get out the street. And I'm saying, I don't agree with that because I'm having fun playing ball in the street. Or am I turn around and say, I know my mom is not going to tell me nothing bad. And my mom looking out for me, I better get out the street. So we have to look at that like, God, sometimes we're just waiting to agree with what he said. And so until we agree with it, we're just confessing it, but we don't really agree with it. And so we don't really respond in a way that shows agreement. Our lips say it, but our response does not. We say, I hear you say, love your enemies, love your enemies, love your enemies. But in my mind, it don't make no sense. But love your enemies. I don't agree with that. And so here comes my enemy doing something wrong to me. But because I don't agree, I think I don't have to do. But the thing is because God said it, and because I know and trust him as doing what's best for me and giving me the commands and precepts that's going to save my life, whether I agree or not agree, Lord, help me to do what you told me to do. I come into alignment because I trust him. Do you see what I'm saying? I trust him. And so that means what he says, whether I understand it or not, I trust him. I trust mama. Get off the street. I don't know what's coming. I don't see no car, mama, but I trust you, mama. So I get out the street. That's how we have to be with God. Now, I don't know if they got this song queued up. Do you have it? Okay, can you play it right now? I want y'all to listen to this song. This song is what brought me to this word. This song, I was about to ban it. Okay? And I'm talking about I can't ban the song, but in my house, okay, ban the hearing of it. When I first heard it, I was like, but I'll let you know in a minute why. I was like, Got to turn it up. It's coming. It's preparing your ears. I think it's coming. I hope we can hear it, so I don't have to sing it. Then you'll really ban it. Can we get it, or else I can turn it on my phone? It's queued into my phone. Joy, you guys. See, this is what I need right now. Joy in the midst of things that just don't happen like they're supposed to happen. We can get really upset. We can get, but joy. Joy is a knowing that whatever's going on, God is in control of it. Even in the pause, what is he doing in this pausing moment to make us think about and examine, do I have joy or do I just have happy? Am I just happy when things are going right? Or do I have joy? Okay, here you guys. Turn it up. I want y'all to hear the words. Some of y'all might not like the little stuff, but I like that part I like. But anyway. Y'all here. If you cry, make sure you cry. Only one night, though. I see you, Juliet. Come on. Well, I see you like it, Elias. Is it a beat or the words? This, if you think about it, think about what Jahia just sung. Kind of coordinates, huh? New horizon. We was told to wake up this morning, weren't we? We was told, wake up. Okay, we can bring it down. Okay, the when I first heard this song, okay, my emphasis was on only one night, though. And so when I first heard it, you know, it says if you're sad, make sure you're sad. Only one night, though. And that's how it came through my spirit. If you're sad, make sure you're sad. Only one night, though. You know? And I kept hearing, only one night, though. And I was like, who are you to tell us how long? My whole inside was like, wait a minute. That's the problem with us Christians. We're always telling somebody how long to be sad or happy. And I mean, I've heard this song at least for a month and a half. And it took me about a month and a half. I think I just this week, I was telling my husband, you know what? God's working with me through this song. He's really, because it's where is your emphasis? That's what God was like. Where is our emphasis? When we are going through pain and sorrow, where is our emphasis? Wherever our emphasis is determines how we're coming through this valley, you know, of the shadow of death. He wants to walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. But God says sometimes we don't want to come through. We've pitched our tent. We've made a tent in the valley of death. And this is where we pitch our tent there. And so when I heard it, I was like, that's what was making me upset was, I was like, only one night though. Are you kidding me? But the thing is that understanding this, that this person that is made this song up is not because he's some novice to death. It's not because he's some novice to sorrow. He was writing that song in the midst of sorrow that could consume him, that could overwhelm him, that could take him out, that could totally destroy him. And what he's saying is, yes, if you're sad, go ahead, be sad, but only one night though. And what he's saying is because God is not saying that we're going to stay in the valley of sadness, stay in the valley of discouragement, stay in the valley of being overwhelmed. God is about bringing us out. And we sometimes think to ourselves that that's insensitive. God said, no, that's the strength I want to bring you. Remember what I said about Ezra? God is saying, yes, I'll hug you. Yes, I'll kiss your boo-boos. But I want to strengthen you that there's going to be boo-boo after boo-boo after boo-boo. And you are going to have to learn to come through those boo-boos a lot quicker. You're going to have to learn how to stand through adversity. You're going to have to learn how to stand through trials. You are not going to forever be a childlike that I need. God is saying no, because you need. He said after he has comforted us, what did he tell us to do? Go and comfort others with the same comfort that I've given you. And God is saying there has to get a strength in our inner man that says, just Ezra, just because he fell on that one time doesn't mean that Ezra's not going to fall again. And he can fall at the playground. He can fall where mommy is not at. And there's some times that we're going to have to learn how to shake ourselves and look up to the Lord and say, God, you're here with me. Joy's with me because your presence is with me. Joy is not hilarious laughing and oh, but joy is a peace of knowing that this has happened, but it's not going to take me out. It's not going to take me under. It's not going to make me give up on God. I'm not going to lose my hope, because my hope is in the Lord, not in circumstances, not in situations, not in peace always, not in life always. It's in you, God. And God wants us not to get caught on that. As he told me, people of God are so easily offended. We can't be strong because we take offense so quick. And God said some of the things that we are offended at, God is calling us to. Sometimes when somebody's saying, grow up, don't you tell me to grow up. Grow up. God is saying, grow up. Hallelujah. Stop being offended. Yeah. It's time to grow up. Stop being offended. That's why I'm saying grow up, because you're so easily offended. An offense can take us out. Right. Offense can take our joy, our peace, our happiness. Yeah. Because every time you look around, something is stealing our joy. Yeah. Now remember, joy is I know. And can we turn that music down, please? Joy is saying that, God, you're here. You're here. Right here. You're right here. Yeah. I'm going through the valley. I don't have to pitch a tent because God is here. I'm going through it. I'm not stuck in it because God is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. And what takes our joy? The number one thing is fear. Fear takes joy, because fear makes me doubt God. Fear makes, I don't know how many times I've laid and God's had to almost slap me to stop letting my mind go into, but what if this? And what if that? And God, will I really see my mom and dad again?
And how will I know them, God? Will they know me, God? Is this where my mind just spins out into all these questions? It just spins out until the next thing you know, my total inside is in a turmoil, and I've worked myself up into tears and to sadness and into crying because I'm fearful. And then how am I going to die? And God, I remember what Daddy said when he died. And God,
come on, Jesus, help us today, God.
He's saying, joy is this confidence. God said we have to get to a confidence in God. That God, you are good. You were good for my mama. You were good for my daddy. You were right there when they took their last breath. You were with them in the pain. You were good. You were good. How it happened, you were good. And you'll be good to me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as I was sometimes. We want, like, for my husband, I was like thinking, God, how can I comfort him? What can I say? You know what I'm saying? You've lost an uncle. You've lost a cousin. You've lost an aunt. This whole past, every time we get a phone call, it was another. I was like, what can I say? He said, and what we don't want people to say is what God wants us to say. God said, just tell him that I'm with him. But most of us, I don't want to know God's with me right now. Tell me something. Hug me. Do something. God said, did you know what God said? We got it all wrong. We say we don't want a God word when we're going through pain. God said you need nothing greater than a God word. A hug, a kiss, a standby is not greater than God's word. Yes, my flesh repels it. Yes, my flesh is upset about it. Because my flesh, it wants to stay where it's at. But my spirit wants to come out like God said, come out. My spirit wants to feel the free indeed that God says, the free indeed that through Christ Jesus, that no matter what touches my life, I'm free indeed from it destroying me. I'm free indeed for it having a final ending over my life. And what I need, even when I don't think I need it, is the word of God. I need the word of God. Do y'all better hear me today? There's nothing better than the word of God. Nothing at all. Now, I'm not talking about a word of God just thrown in the wind and God hasn't given you that word. But I'm saying that there's been times people have given me a word when I was mad at God. And that's why I didn't want to hear the word. I'm mad at him. I don't want to hear that. He could have done better right now. He could have done something right now. He could have delivered in the way that I thought he could have delivered right now. I'm mad at him. I don't want to hear his word. But God is saying, you need to hear my word. Because if you don't hear my word, your ears open to the enemy's word. And his word is always doubt, suspicion, and fear against our Lord and Savior. It says joy is going to come in the morning. And I love it. It says if you cry, you can cry now, but only one day. And when it made me mad, God had to remind me that, because what right there when it says, but only one day, I was thinking, that person must not have been going through nothing. They think all I'm going to cry is one day over my mom and dad. But God says that's because there again, we go to the flesh. Because in the Bible, what does it say about a day? A day is a what? Now, does that give me an excuse to cry for 1,000 years? No. But it lets me know that there is a grieving time that under the authority and power of Christ, it has a perfect work in me. But there's also a grieving time under the power and authority of the enemy that will destroy me. It will destroy my hope in the Lord. It will destroy my going on. It
it will make me not even want to live myself. Do you understand? If I allow the enemy, he'll make me want to die myself. And God is telling this morning, live in the joy of the Lord. In the joy of the Lord, live. No matter, he says, some of our lives are not lives of living. I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. Abundant life doesn't mean more stuff. It means more God. I came to give you life more abundantly, that when everything's being stolen from you, your hope, your family, your life, I came to give you life, that what it was supposed to do, the enemy's blow is supposed to kill us. But God said, no. He doesn't have the final say. I came to give you life more abundantly, that yes, you can live through death. Yes, you can live through disappointment. Yes, you can live through your marriage going bad. Yes, you can live through your kids all hayward. Yes, you can live. But you can live because you're living through me. And you can have joy, a peaceful joy, that on the inside says, devil, you don't have the final say. You say that I'm going to die. And God said, in me, you shall never die. You will go to sleep. See, if we don't get to know God's purpose, God's word, we will do just like Eve in the garden. We'll get confused with that one little thing that the enemy points out, and there we are stuck in a place that takes our hope away from God. But when the enemy has something, you got to counteract that with, there's always a flip side. In this world, you will have, there's always a but. He's got, in this world, you will have trouble. And we can all stop with that sentence and go, we're going to have trouble in this world. Yep, we're going to have trouble. Today we wake up, yep, trouble. Yep, that's what God said, trouble. Every day, our whole day can be trouble. And we never get to, but be of sadness, be of despair, be of discouragement. It says, but be of good. And it's a be of good cheer. There's something inside of our, it's something about that raises us up above the sadness. There's some cheer that can come. Isn't there some, that even in the spite of all the chaos, cheer. People of God, we got to get to the cheer. The world already knows about sadness and despair and discouragement. But where's the cheer? Somebody says, you're saying I can't cry. Cry, but still be of good cheer.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Like it says, only one day, though. Be of good cheer. God is saying cry, kick, scream. God is not telling us to act like nothing ever happened. God is not telling us to walk in denial. But I acknowledge my trouble. I'm not going to deny being denial, but I'm not going to be in denial either of what God has done about my trouble.
Right.
I'm going to acknowledge my trouble, and I'm also going to acknowledge what God has done about my trouble. There's trouble, but there's an overcomer, God, that has made me an overcomer. That trouble doesn't have to be my final, the finality of my day. And what did you guys say? Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't you feel like sometimes there's been so much? I remember when Mom and Dad died, there's just days that I just felt like it just felt good. Don't get out. Don't wake up to this day. Do you understand? Don't get out the bed. Because if you get out the bed, you have to face that they're gone. You know, it's just put the cup over your head. Just wrap yourself up. Don't. But God is saying, I didn't call you to that.
That's right.
God didn't call us to depression.
That's right.
You guys, don't validate and affirm it like it's supposed to be in our lives. Depression is not, sadness can be in our life. But depression is meant, we've been overwhelmed by sadness. and we have lost our hope in God, and now we've opened a door that the enemy can take control. And God wants us, only one night though. God, I'm going through this with you. See, that's the only way you can really go only one night is, and the night that God calls for you to, is with God. Without God, it's all out of control. Your night may be eons, okay? But with God, there's something that brings me back to hope when I get back into his word that lets me know, Mom and Dad, they sleep according to the word of God. According to the word of God, I will see them according to the word of God. According to the word of God, trouble don't last always. That's why it says weeping may endure but joy. And you guys see, we'll get so stuck on the weeping may endure, and we're enduring. We don't see the morning coming. The sun is rising. It says over the horizon, here comes the sun, and we're still in the night. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look in his face, and you will see the joy that comes in the morning. And the joy says, I got that. I conquered that. I made that so that it wouldn't do what it was supposed to do without me going to the cross. Death was supposed to be forever. What a pointless life to come and just die and nothing. But that was never God's design. God's design was that we would live forever. So how does God redeem that and get it back? He sends Jesus Christ to the cross to conquer sin, death, and the grave. And now we know it's not just a purposeless life. We came here, we live, we die, whoo, that's it. No, we came, we live, we grow, we know the God of our Savior, and we transition to life with him forever. That's the joy in the morning. You guys, let's stand. Let's aim toward joy. You guys, let's aim, not all out here. Some of us, we're continually aiming outside of the bullseye. And God is saying, how are you going to do that? You're going to get in his word, and you're going to say, what does God say about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going, I don't have to believe it based on my feelings. Our feelings get us in so much trouble. But I'm believing it based on the God in whom I trust. I trust him. If he tells me to get out the street, I'm getting out the street.
Yeah.
I don't have to say I don't see a car or what's coming.
Okay.
Why? I trust him. And that's where God wants us to get to. I trust you, God.
Yeah.
And all the whys, how come? I don't want to. I trust you, God. You are my joy. The word of God says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Of his goodness, of his mercy, of his power. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And there is where I take my aim, in the joy of the Lord. Everything outside of that has to come in to what I'm aiming at, the joy of the Lord. That's my strength. That's our strength. Want some strength this morning? Aim toward joy. I said, want some strength in your life? Aim toward joy. Happiness, roller coaster, up, down. Aim toward joy, because joy is steadfast, it's unmovable, it's in the presence of the Lord and in his word. Let's aim toward joy. I want, in Romans 15 and 13, I want to say this prayer. It says, may the God of all hope, may the God of all hope. Let's not mix things up. Let's not change things. May the finances of hope, or may the relationship of hope, or
no.
What, no earthly thing, okay? May the God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now, how are you going to get this? As you trust him, right? You're going to be filled more and more with all joy and peace as you trust him. So there's why the enemy comes to attack your trust, because he knows as you trust him, you're being filled with more joy and peace. And it says that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that over you. May God fill us all. Pulpit out the door. Anyone back there, may he fill us all. He wants to fill us with joy and peace. But you guys, we're going to have to get more acquainted with him so that we can trust him more. Because there's where the peace and joy is taken away, where there's any distrust. So let's trust him more. And he said, so that you may overflow. Overflow means that I have enough for you and somebody else, for me and somebody else. I have enough to overflow on others.
Thank you, God.
Peace and joy. And the church, it's time for the church. God is coming back. It's time for the church to be overflowing.
Yes, yes.
You know, we wonder how the joy of the Lord, how it's going to be spread to every nation. It's because there's going to be some overflowing joy that people can see that we have the joy of the Lord. And even though the news is bad, we're standing in a confidence, a peace that God is in control. And that no matter how it goes down, we're going up. Do y'all hear me? We're going up to be with the Lord no matter how it goes down on this earth. And that should be seen in our walk, in our talk, in our responses, in the way that we handle our situations, the joy of the Lord. And why, God, it comes to me first, because there are some areas in my life that I find I can get so chaotic. And God is going, calm yourself down. Who do you trust? That or me? And sometimes I gotta say, but that looks so or feels so or what? And God said, I'm greater than that. I'm greater than that, Linda. I'm greater than that. This morning, if there's an area in your life that you need joy, you've just been trying to operate on some happiness. I just want to be happy. I'm tired of being sad. I just want to be happy. This morning, can you just say, I just want the joy of the Lord. I just want the joy of the Lord. I want something that remains, not comes and goes in seasons, but in every season I can have it. If you just want to pray and pray with me, okay, just come really quickly. Because the joy of the Lord is something that the body of Christ, we have to have. It should be something on exhibit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It should be something that people look at our lives and they go, you know, people in the world, they know when we're like, oh, I got a new car. Oh, I got a new business. Oh, I got new clothes. Oh, I got a man. They know all, because we are, But they also, because they said, we do the same thing. If we get that, we're going to be happy too. But what about, I lost my uncle today. God is so good. God is good. I got a bad doctor's report. But I'm going to trust in the Lord. Now the world is like, I'm interested. Tell me more. This is different.
Amen.
This is not how I would respond. How are you responding like that? Because of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord's in my knower. The joy of the Lord's in my inner man. The joy of the Lord is what's leading me and guiding me and keeping me. And they're going to say, you know what? I want that. I want that. Sometimes we're trying to be attractive by the things that we have in the world to prove that we have a God that loves us. And so we want to be attractive by that. We want to have so much stuff that people look and say, oh, she got God. Look what she got. You see that house? You see that car? Oh, you see that man? Oh, you see. No. There are people killing themselves that got more money, more houses, more land than any of us will ever have on this earth. And they're blowing their brains out. Why? On the inside that's missing the hope that in the worst of situations I've got a Savior and I've got a friend and I've got someone who loves me and carries me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't have to pitch no tent there. I'm coming through. I'm coming out. I'm coming through and I'm coming out. Lord, we thank you for every single one that has come to this altar today. Lord, we ask that you would fill them as that prayer. Fill them. Fill them with your joy. Fill them with your peace, oh God. Oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, that's what they're aiming for. They're aiming for your joy. Your presence. You said in your presence is fullness of joy. And so, God, they're aiming for your presence in their life, oh God, that nothing would be higher, nothing would be greater, nothing would they long for more than your presence. And, God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, where they've been on the roller coaster of happiness, up today and down tomorrow, up today, God, we ask that you would stabilize. Plant them in the joy of the Lord. They would not be easily shaken. They would not be easily moved. But they are planted in your word, in your promises, in your yes, and in your amen. No matter what outside circumstances look like or feel like, inside their knower, God, in their spirit, they know. You are greater than it all. This place a father, again. Like on wings of an eagle, will be whole. You will carry them still and help them soar above it all. God, we thank you today for your joy, for your joy, for your joy, God. We thank you for its strength in our lives. And God, we thank you for the outcome as we aim for joy, the joy that kingdom living, kingdom believing, kingdom power of the Holy Ghost wants to give to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I want to pray.
You call me your own.
Father, you know all things, God.
So Lord,
you know those places, God, that she doesn't
me.
Even speak about,
you
but longs for you to move.
World.
The when, the how,
but
the why.
You still want me.
Father, today may peace just rest
you
upon
call
her.
Me your own.
Father, when we